Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of a fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
All right, folks, thanks for coming back to another edition of Mayday Monday. This is the February edition, Heart Health Month, so we're going to concentrate on. Before we get a dive too deep into the issue for today, I want to remember our line of duty deaths since the last time we got together. Since then, there was a assistant chief in New York who died of a heart attack. Maryland firefighter contracted COVID, died of COVID. Tennessee firefighter, same, died of COVID. Of course, today we're in Baltimore. A lot of our friends are, and they're remembering three firefighters who were killed in a row house fire and a collapse there. And yesterday, California captain was shot while battling a dumpster fire. So you just, if you would take a few minutes today and while you watch this and remember those who we lost. The heart attack thing is pretty tough, right? We know how bad that is for firefighters. This is this month's Mayday Monday post that I want to share with you. Again, February is Heart Health Month, not just for firefighters, but for everybody. The American Heart Association is kind of taking the lead on that. Here at Mayday Mondays, we also make it a point of talking about Heart Health Month every year. Some information that you can take. 27 firefighters died in the line of duty in 2021 due to heart attacks or some kind of cardiac event. And a lot of those cardiac line of duty deaths, there was something there that could have been caught ahead of time before if there had been screening, regular doctor visits and that kind of thing. Another really shocking stat to me is that for every one of those cardiac line of duty deaths, there were 17 to 25 close calls. Members in the fire service who had some kind of a cardiac event that didn't kill them, but that was, a job changing, life changing, days off, that kind of thing. And the real importance there is that a lot of these firefighters had something there that, again, during a yearly check, a yearly physical, a stress test may have been caught, and could have, possibly prevented this from happening. With that, I want to talk to introduce you to this month's honoree, if you will. This time is kind of different. Usually, we talk to someone who was friends of a person who suffered a line of duty death. Right, last month, of course, we talked to some friends who lost. Lost a firefighter. This month, we're going to talk to a friend who we didn't lose. I know it sounds like we came pretty close, but we didn't. Randy Feltner is here. He's a Virginia guy, another Virginia guy here where I am, and he's a firefighter with a Naval District of Washington Fire Department, which we want to learn a little bit about that. So, Randy, will you take a second here? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, my name's Randy Feldner. I'm a battalion chief with Naval District Washington Fire Department. From Virginia, a volunteer in Colonial Beach, my hometown. And then, like I said, I work for Naval District Washington, which is, we're kind of all over the place. We're in Maryland, Virginia, D.C. So we have 14 firehouses that go everywhere from Camp David, Bethesda Naval Hospital, Pax River, Naval Academy in Annapolis, all the Navy bases in D.C., all the way down to Dahlgren, Virginia, and then here in Indian Head, Maryland, where I'm at. So we kind of protect the whole, all the Navy guys in the DMV. We have 250 and 300 members, department wide, kind of spanning three states, and we're kind of all over the place.
Yeah. So obviously being in DC, we did have chance to meet some of those guys, right? At the Navy Yard. They're in the Navy Yard. They're also in, I can't think of that camp that's in there in downtown DC that is different, right? Bowling Air Force Base.
Yeah, Bowling Air Force Base. And they had the Naval Research Lab right there, almost to the Beltway. Yeah.
And then you go out to, is Pax River part of NDW?
Yeah, Pax River is kind of like our furthest out. They're all the way down in St. Mary's County. But yeah, they that's one of the, you know, a huge naval air station. They have three stations.
What is Fort Myers part of NDW?
No, Fort Myers falls underneath the Army.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you go down south of in Virginia, you go down to Dahlgren, right? Is that where you are?
I was at Dahlgren for the first 17 years of my career. And I got promoted to battalion chief, I moved up to Indian Head, which is kind of the Dahlgren sister station.
Okay. No, I like, there's a long history. You guys have been around for a long time. Like that black and white picture there is from the Navy Yard there. Pretty
same
cool.
Same firehouse still though.
Yeah. Not much has changed, right?
That's no.
the wheels of the federal government turn slow, don't they? All right, cool. Like I said, I know I got to see those guys come out every once in a while in the city there. And then I know that they're active in Dahlgren, right? In is that King George County?
Yeah, they run out into King George County, and they actually run across the bridge into Charles County in Maryland as well. So they kind of run the south side of Charles County, and then all of King George County, that truck 28 goes out a lot. And anytime they have a house fire in that whole county, they're on it.
Yeah, that bridge is horrible, huh?
Yeah, they're building that new one now, so it's going to be nice. It's going to be four lanes instead of two, so it's going to be good.
All right, so tell me a little bit about what happened, and we can get more into the heart health stuff.
Yeah, so I had a massive heart attack in the gym on duty on October 11th, 2018. We were about 10 minutes into our workout. We had our department trainer, and you know, she's a real butt kicker. So she was working us over pretty good. And I was about 10 minutes in, and I remember, you know, just leaning down to do a stretch, and I woke up and all the guys were standing over top of me. And I tried to get up and realized my shirt was off. And that's kind of weird. But I thought I just fainted. I didn't know. They didn't tell me that I had gone into cardiac arrest. And they, you know, they had just used the AED in the gym. They didn't even have time to get the one off the medic unit that was in the parking lot before they started. And they zapped me twice, and I woke up, had the IO needle in my shin. They were getting ready to give me drugs. And I actually called my wife from the laying on the floor, getting on the stretcher, and told her I was having a heart attack. They put the life pack on me and said, yeah, man, you're having a heart attack. We're going to the hospital now. And I called her and, hey, I'm having a heart attack. I'm going to the hospital. And she's like, okay. But you know, I got about halfway there and realized it was a lot more serious than they originally had said. You know, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, am I gonna die? What's going on? And I get to the hospital, and yeah, you know, the doctor's like, I don't know if you had a heart attack, because like, you shouldn't be awake, you shouldn't be talking to me like this, like that. So we're gonna go do the cath, and they take me back to the cath lab, and you know, I'm awake for most of that. And they pumped me full of fentanyl so I wouldn't feel anything. And he's in there. He said, oh yeah, no, you definitely did. And he showed me on the thing where my right coronary artery was 100% blocked. And they took the calcium deposit out and the blood clot out and put the stents in. And I had to lay flat on my back for almost 3 days with the balloon pump up into my aorta in the hospital. So I'm literally like laying on my back. I couldn't move my head, because if I did, it would pull the pump. So I'm filling out my workman's comp paperwork, laying flat on my back. I felt like I was like Seinfeld with the pen that writes upside down, trying to do that. And, you know, it was crazy. I didn't even think about like the whole coming back to work part, like the doctor at the hospital was like, oh, you know, you should be, we'll get you going. And, you know, that was the furthest thing from my mind, but it was crazy because like for me, I was so ignorant. A few years before that, I had run a marathon and they had interviewed the chief of the volunteer house about it, in like the small town paper. And they had asked me a question and I told them that, you know, of course I could die tomorrow if we ran a call. Like those people in Baltimore just unfortunately passed away. And I actually said in the article that there's no way to take care of myself. So I was so ignorant. I said, I take care of myself so much that I'll never die of a heart attack. And then of course me, the guy who's yelling at everybody about staying fit and doing that is the one who, you know, damn near dies. I was in cardiac arrest for about 3.5 minutes.
I don't think you damn near died, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did for a little bit, technically, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's pretty technical. I guess yeah. It wouldn't be very technical. I mean, right? No yeah. Heart.
Yeah.
So let's dial that back a little bit, right? You said that was 2018.
Yeah.
3 years ago, three plus years ago.
Yeah.
Before that, you ran a marathon.
Yeah, less than a year before that, and I had just gone and got my physical in August, and the doctor said, "Man, you're one of the healthiest people in the department."
In August.
And that was October.
So can I ask you how old were you?
38.
38.
38 years old.
So, I mean, I guess is what did the Reese, when they looked back and said, should they have noticed something?
So my EKG, like we did the EKG at my physical, all that was normal. I never had an issue before that. All my others, my blood pressure was good. All my, you know, cholesterol was good. The good cholesterol was great. And the bad cholesterol was good. And no issues with that. When I talked to the doctor, when he explained it, I actually had like a calcium deposit that had built up on the wall of my right coronary artery. And it, you know, they had everybody has plaque built up. And I was actually just on the phone a few minutes ago with a friend of mine that I went through the Chief Officers Academy for Virginia with. And he's having some issues right now. And he just called to vent and just kind of see how, you know, I kind of handled the not knowing of you know, what's next. And I was telling him that, you know, just kind of take it as it goes. Cause I kind of thought my stuff was over after that, not knowing that you could actually work after this kind of stuff happens. But I had that calcium buildup and the normal plaque that's in there that everybody has, especially as we get older. So that stuff can break off. And they said it could almost be like that kind of broke off and then hit that calcium deposit, which was probably blocking it 70-80% to start with and just kind of sealed her on up.
So I guess stress test, right? You had stress tests before?
I had not had a stress test. But our physical at that age didn't ask for it. With the Navy Occ Health, they based on 1582, but not they kind of do different stuff with that. And I had not had a stress test, but they probably wouldn't even have seen it on the stress test because it was because the way the EKG was.
Really? So, I mean, yeah. What did we learn from this? I guess
so for me, I had no idea. And, it's weird. Like, so this kind of comes up later on in my recovery part, but I had no idea there was even a thing called a calcium scoring test where you can detect those things. I wouldn't have actually even qualified for it at 38 other than family history. Cause my father had a heart attack and his father had died from heart attack when my dad was young back in the 60s. So he, if I had that test would have shown that I had that calcium buildup in there. But you have to like have a couple factors. Like you have to be 45, or have family history or high blood pressure, be, overweight or obese, diabetes, stuff like, you know, and I didn't have any of those qualifications other than the family history, but it's such a inexpensive test. Like even if the you go to the cardiologist and they and your insurance doesn't like cover it all the way, it's like $100 to $500. And literally they you do that test and it can tell your percentage or your likelihood of having a heart attack within this time frame based on that.
No, I mean other stress tests can show right?
Yeah. But just the he said that he don't even know that my cardiologist said he couldn't guarantee that if I had gone into the normal get on the treadmill, put the leads on you and go stress test that it may not even have shown that something was wrong. So like a ticking time bomb.
Right. So it could have happened on the drive home.
It could have happened. Yeah, it could have happened the day before when I was cutting grass. And I've been, out in the yard. No one would even known that it happened. I would just have luck, and I have a tattoo right here. It says lucky right here that, and I think about that all the time. People's like, I told this story, for the first couple of years and it's, you're so lucky. And yes, but my guys, cause I don't know if I'd have reacted the same way they did. If I'd have seen one of my guys go down, I might have had just that shit moment, like because we were used to helping everybody else, but not helping ourselves, And they were so quick, like the guy I was working out with immediately flipped me over, started doing compressions. AED came in, bang. Like they're trained so well that, they had me back before they could even start using the stuff that we're supposed to use, is how quick they reacted. So I'm lucky that I was where I was, but they're training. That's not luck. That's just them being good at their job, and they got to use it on me.
And yeah. That's
blessed beyond measure that they're good at their job for sure.
Yeah. That's right. So where you had it, definitely luck played a big part in you being here to be on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So, how do we learn from this?
So, I mean, to me, like I am now, cause I was always I never got sick. And now like I don't get a flu every year. So I was when I went to the doctor, it was in May for my birthday. I go to the health doc cause that's what I need to, and then do my testing and I'm good. And, I was not a big outside doctor guy, and I'm kind of a advocate now of people really needing to do that. We had and not just for heart stuff, but like we had a prevention chief who they saw something on his X-ray. Just, hey, this, you should go get this looked at. I don't really know what this is. And he goes to the doctor, which he would not have gone to before, and found that he had cancer. And if he hadn't done that, he probably wouldn't be here either. And there's just so much little stuff that our normal go to the physical, they're checking for, can he bend over and can he hear and he's not colorblind and EKG is good, blood work's good, bang, see ya, go back to the fire truck, which is what they're supposed to do. We're a tool just like we're checking the equipment. We're a tool to the fire department, but I'm a big advocate of making sure that people don't just use their physical. Like if we have health insurance, let's use it and get as much testing as we can to make sure one that, that doctor might be wrong both ways. They could say something's wrong with you and it not really be, or not be that big a deal. Or they could tell you you're good to go. And then you go to a specialist for whatever you have, heart history in your family, or you have a cancer history in your family, get those tests done and find out something that, you can catch it early and you don't have to go through what I went through, or the worst alternative.
Yeah, no, the calcium scoring test seems like a good one to add. I did have another friend from Indiana who went through that. And again, same thing. His doctor said, this tells you a lot. It's cheap. Yeah. You should add it to your physicals.
And I've been pushing that too. Like when I get the chance to go out and speak to fire departments about like what happened, if I catch the chief or the admin in the room, you know, I make sure I have a slide in my presentation that basically says what it is, and the bottom of it in big bold letters, you know, average cost $100 to $500, $100 is worth your $1 million investment in your firefighter over the career for their salary and whatever. You don't have to pay a new one plus death benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. So NDW does a 1582 physical.
So we do the Navy Occ Health Clinic, the doctors who do the physicals for the soldiers do our physicals as well. They have personal come in. So we do a version of the 1582. Like they follow that for, the hearing and the sight and diabetes and all the things that they look for, but it's not the complete 1582. At least our department. I can't speak for other departments.
So but it could be,
I don't know outside of NDW. I've never worked outside of NDW. So like I said, I couldn't speak for them, but you know, they're very thorough with our blood work and they're very quick too, which is great. If they have any inclination something is off, to make sure they send you to a specialist on that to kind of go after that. You know, we, like I said, we've had a couple guys who've had cancer. We had a line of duty death for a chief that passed away from cancer. We had another one last year who he was retired, but he had passed away just recently after retiring from cancer. And so they're very quick to make sure that they're sending us out to get the proper checkups, aside from just the normal medical doctor who is checking the basics.
What so the heart attack happened on 10/11/2018.
Mm-hmm.
What was the recovery like?
So as fate would have it, my wife was actually trained to be a cardiac rehab therapist. The day our daughter was born, she was actually at Mary Washington Hospital. I was out in the parking lot. This was in 2015. We got a phone. We adopted our daughter, and we got a phone call that birth mother had picked us. She wanted us at the hospital. And I was like, great, we're at the hospital. This is awesome. Wrong hospital. So we had to go to a different hospital. So she comes out, but she was actually she worked for the YMCA, and she was doing learning the process to help people, cardiac patients, if they don't want to go to the hospital, they can come to the YMCA. So it was about 2 weeks. They told me I could go back to the gym and start easing back into exercising. So I couldn't get my pulse over like 105, I think it was, which was super frustrating. I had to walk like 2 miles an hour on the treadmill. But just slowly, you know, each couple of weeks, they would let me go a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And I told my wife while I was in the hospital, I was like, I'm going to run the Marine Corps half marathon with you this year. She's like, you're crazy. That's 6 months away. There's no way that's happening. And I said, I'm going to. I don't care if I got to walk it. I'm going to do it. And when I ran that race that year, you run up behind Mary Washington Hospital, which is where I was at in Fredericksburg. And they call it Hospital Hill because it's a giant hill that goes up on the race course. And I run up this hill, and the actual ER nurses who were in the ER the day I came in knew I was doing it, and they were waiting for me. And so they're all going crazy. But it was a long process. But it was, it was just steady. I 2 months after my heart attack, I was actually back at work on light duty, just doing desk stuff, which I'd never been so happy to do, incident reports and put in training in the computer. And then 4 months later, they cleared me to come back to full duty.
Wow, 4 months. So
yeah,
we're talking just 120 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely, the cards were in your favor with having your own cardiac rehab.
Yeah, and then, when I was in the hospital, the doctor told me point blank, you're going to be good. Life's going to be great. You're going to be fine. You have to take care of yourself. But he had told me too, that if I had not been, which sounds weird because I had a heart attack and almost died, but if I had not been in such good cardiac condition prior to my event, that I would not be in, I wouldn't have had the same outcome. Like, I may have survived, but I wouldn't have had, like, I had very minimal damage to my heart. And a lot of that is because they revived me so quick. But with the exercise, medicine that they gave me, and then the exercise, and the diet I was already on, like, they didn't change my diet at the hospital, because I was already doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I don't have any heart damage now.
Other than you didn't have any part of the heart die. You just had a blood flow blockage.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had, you know, and then once they got that taken care of, between the rehab and medication, they were able to kind of reverse that. And I don't, I'm still on, I think I'm on two medications for another year and hopefully coming off of those at my next checkup, which would be in December, I think.
Wow. That's a crazy, crazy story there. And unfortunately it really kind of shoots all of our ideas, right? The pre-existing conditions, not necessarily living a healthy life. But the calcium deposit that you had, what caused that?
So they don't really know. It could be just some kind of like genetic predisposition to having that. Which is why, like, even though my cholesterol was, you know, perfect before the event, I'm still on cholesterol medicine as part of the treatment, you know, for that, because I guess it helps with the inflammation and stuff too. So they want to make sure that, you know, another year of that, and if everything's still good at the end of that, they do do a check at the end of the next year, and then they'll hopefully take me off of that too. But, you know, I figure if I'm tied to a pill, as opposed to not being able to pretty much do whatever I want, then I'll take that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what you were talking about, you guys were working out.
Yeah.
Right. What do you have, some good fitness facilities
we don't have anything in the actual firehouse. We didn't at Dahlgren, and we don't here at Indian Head. So there was the gym is actually about a block away from the firehouse. So we would just drive over there. That way the rigs are closed if we get a call. But there's a separate like exercise studio in there. So one of the personal trainers kind of took us on a couple of days a week, where we would go at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and she would take us for 45 minutes to an hour and kind of write up a workout for us. And so it was really good, because it was doing something different than just going in there and bench pressing a couple of times and walking on the treadmill and then getting back in the rig. So it was really good, because it was more fit to what we do, more functional fitness, I guess.
And she's a fire department resource, or a whole for the
resources? No, she works for the Navy. So she works through MWR, which is they handle all like the recreation stuff for the Navy, and she's just a personal trainer at the gym. So she works with all the enlisted personnel at Dahlgren. And then we talk to her to figure out what would be a good time, you know, weekly for us to come in. And so she gave us a couple of days where we come in the afternoons, and she was already there for the 8 hours. So she gave us an hour when she wasn't busy with them.
What do you guys, what's your shift work there at NDW?
So we do, all the shift guys do 48 hours on, 72 hours off, twice. And then we do 48 off. So we're here. We're still doing our 72 hours a week, just not the 24s like we used to do when we were, you know, you spend more time here than you would at home, because you're probably better time at home, which is been pretty. I didn't sure how it was going to be when we first started doing that, but I don't know if I could do anything else now.
Yeah, that seems to be the theme, I guess. Everybody at NDW has changed to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Good. So tell us about a couple things that. You want our people to kind of learn from your experience.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, and I'm ashamed to, I tell people this all the time too. I'm ashamed to say I was pissed off when I was in the hospital because I didn't think I shouldn't be the one having a heart attack. Like I, you know, as ignorant as it sounds, like I was like, why didn't this guy have a heart attack? Why didn't this guy have one? Like, you know, this guy's smoking all the time or this guy's doing this. Why is it me? Until I did more research. I thought I knew a lot of stuff and I really didn't. But that was just my ignorance coming through being, you know, like we can be sometimes as firemen, a little arrogant. But, you know, it can happen to anyone. We say it all the time. When I talk to people, it can happen to anyone. It doesn't happen. When I ran the marathon in 2017 with the IFF team at the Marine Corps Marathon, you know, they honored a guy who ran for the IFF team who was qualifying for Boston, which you got to be super fast to do that and super in shape. And he was running in Chicago and basically his heart exploded 500 yards from the finish line, you know, line of duty death done. And, you know, that guy's the epitome of fitness. I am not. I'm definitely by no means Mr. Olympia or anything like that. And so, I mean, it can happen to anyone. But I also think the biggest thing that I've kind of learned is if it does happen, it doesn't mean that your life is over. Like you can survive and still thrive after a major medical event, you know? And I don't think I knew that at first. Like I told people that but my mental health side of surviving wasn't where I thought it was. But you know, I got to that point later on. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is for me is making sure that one, taking care of yourself daily, eating right and not doing the extracurriculars, not drinking heavy and not smoking. You know, we got a high enough risk of cancer. We don't need to give it to ourselves anymore. But the heart disease part plays in that too. I mean, 50% of us die from that, you know? So I think taking care of yourself and then realizing that, you know, we're not immune to it just because we think we are healthy. Like I said, it can happen to anyone. The guy I was talking to on the phone a little while ago is as skinny as a rail. You wouldn't think he's the prime candidate for cardiac issues, but he's having problems right now. And it's everywhere and it's everybody. And it could happen. Hopefully it doesn't happen to anybody. I hope nobody ever has to do it, but I hope everybody's aware enough to take those steps and go get checked out or do the calcium scoring test if it's available from your doctor. Talk to a cardiologist, even if you don't think you need to. Like if I'd have gone to one just because my dad had one, you know, and when he was older, I should have probably gone earlier and just got checked out by one. Maybe they would have suggested that. Maybe I wouldn't have had to do it.
Yeah, that's one thing to take away, right, is get the checkups.
Yeah.
Get the checkups. Don't
use your insurance
for an event. Don't wait for something to happen.
You pay for it, use it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think now a lot of these insurance, they give you, you can do like challenges, right, on your health insurance. Every time you go for a checkup, you get points. Every time you log a good meal, you can get points, and eventually you can get like gift cards and stuff.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, pay for your doctor stuff. Yeah, for
prescriptions. Yeah, some of those United Healthcare and yeah. Some of those other things, right? Like the Aflac will give you points or money or something if you go get a.
Yeah, my wife does it all the time. She's on our Blue Cross app all the time, putting in stuff because it'll send, you know, $100 gift cards at a time and help pay for, you know, MRIs or when I go to the cardiologist, the copays and stuff like that. Cause I mean, that stuff does get expensive.
Or helps with eating healthy.
Right? Yeah.
It seems like healthy eating is expensive and anything we can do to get those costs down.
Right. Go to a restaurant, a cup of fruits, $4, and the French fries is $2.
Yeah, you don't find a salad on the dollar menu at McDonald's.
No.
This is a good story. I'm glad that you're here to talk about it. Again, if you think about the fire service last year alone, again, if you take out the COVID deaths from last year, 35% of our line of duty deaths were cardiac related.
Yeah.
And it's every year that way, right? Yeah. It, sometimes it's more than 30%. Sometimes it's 50%.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's always kind of been the dirty little secret or the white elephant in the room we didn't want to talk about.
We'd rather go do the fun stuff. You know, we'd rather go to the burn building and burn all day or go, you know, find an old abandoned hotel and force doors and cut windows and do all that other stuff as opposed to spending half an hour. It's 2% of the day. You can go to the gym or work out in the building. I think like too, for me, and I'm sure if you know somebody that watches this or listens to this that's gone through some kind of major medical event, like the afterwards, the physical part wasn't the hard part. Like when I came back to work, like I was like, oh yeah, I'm ready to come back to work. And I wasn't ready to come back to work. I didn't know it yet, but you know, we start running calls and then you start questioning yourself, you know, that am I going to be able to do without, cause you don't put the guys in danger, especially being, you know, I was captain at the time, putting the three guys on the rig with me. Like are they going to come get me now? Like, am I going to fall out? And it took me a long time. And I tell you, a big part of like my mental, I guess, awakening, breakthrough, whatever, I was laying in the hospital bed the night that I had my heart attack. And my wife sends me an article, just, you know, randomly, she had gone home to take care of my daughter and sends me an article. And, you know, if that October 11th, 2018 sounds familiar, it's because that's the day Brad Clark died. That's the day Brad Clark got run over by a semi truck saving his crew. And she basically told me, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You're here. And I've talked to Brad's widow about this. And I told her that I would never tell this story if she didn't think it was okay. But you know, what that dude did for me, you know, just he, you know, met him a couple of times in passing, you know, I heard all the great stories about him. But you know what he did for me, I could never repay that to her or to his girls. But it kind of got me in that place. And then I reached out and I found like a almost like a support group, but not really, because now it's turned into something else. Got hooked up with Bob Harper and Survivors Have Heart, which is, you know, it's run by AstraZeneca. So I kind of thought, oh, great. Here it is, pharmaceutical company. And they're going to just be pushing this stuff. And they didn't mention medicine one time. It was really all just about helping. Yeah, there's pictures from it right there. There's pictures on the top is this past summer, I went to New York City. Myself and five other survivors with Bob Harper. And we just went to a photo shoot in New York City. And I'd never thought I would do something like that. But, you know, we really want to just push out that, you know, if this does happen to you, you know, once you get past the physical stuff, that there's emotional baggage too. And it, you know, it's okay to not be okay, but you're going to be okay because you're still here. And that's kind of like you know, the theme with that, with what we're trying to push out is being a mentor to other people. And I have, you know, a double platform because I have the fire service, just my own little niche, and I get to go talk to firemen everywhere and doing stuff like this. But I also get to go out and speak to normal people and show them these pictures and tell these stories of all these people that I've met across the country that, you know, I would have never, one, I've never, probably never talked to. And two, you know, I would have never done something like this if I just didn't happen to fall across it one day. I didn't even qualify for it because you had to be 45 to sign up to do the initial Survivors Have Heart thing. And I told them that I was 38 and told them, you know, what I did for a living. And they thought it was a good story to kind of get started. And when I went down there, I didn't realize how broken my brain was and how I wasn't really, you know, how I hadn't come to terms with what had happened. And, you know, I don't think without, you know, obviously the support of my family down here on the bottom, but, with that group, I tell them all the time, you know, they're family now too. And I wouldn't be ready. I wouldn't be able to do this and talk to you like this if it wasn't for that kind of the strength that whole program's given me.
Yeah. I go back to Brad. We honored Brad a couple months back here on the October May Day Monday and talked to some friends there from Hanover. And Brad was a great guy. Is still a great guy, right? Still a great memory. Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
We're lucky. We were all lucky to have met him.
Absolutely. And it's so funny, like the things that, you know, he hasn't been here in 3.5 years and the things he's still doing for the fire service. You know, between that Perfecting the Craft conference and like I spoke at the company officer summit down in Richmond and I just had a slide and it was just a picture of him, you know, doing the whole send it thing. And then a picture of me when I had Melanie had came to our firehouse to speak at our banquet. And I was just talking and I just said it just like I'd done a few minutes ago. And one of his coworkers was actually in the room. I didn't know that this dude worked for Hanover. And he kind of came up afterwards like, man, thank you. I was like, don't thank me. Hmm. You know, thank him.
Yeah. And Melanie's a great survivor story.
Oh, my goodness.
There's some good stuff.
She's so tough. Yeah. Such a strong one.
Yeah. And this takes a lot. I'm sure maybe cathartic for you to talk about it, especially to tell the fire service about.
This is so therapeutic. I tell people all the time, you know, when I go out and people are like, I got a guy call me yesterday and was like, hey, can you come to, you know, wherever and talk? And what do you charge? I was like, I don't charge anything. But you don't understand, like, this helps me as much as it does anything else. And to be able to give back one to the fire service, but just kind of make something terrible into something good. And you know, our little group, our Survivors Have Heart group, we always talk about it. And Bob told us one day, he said, you know, this heart attack is kind of like the greatest gift I never knew and I never wanted. And to me, it really is like, I'm healthy. I'm here. So, you know, I wouldn't have seen my second daughter born if I hadn't, you know, we adopted another little girl, you know, last year. And I wouldn't have been here for that. Like my wife would have done that by herself. And so I think about all these things that, you know, my perspective is so different now. And I don't think that I would have gotten to that point if this hadn't happened. So it wasn't all bad. Obviously I wouldn't have wish I could go back and not had one and just maybe had the, hey, I could have had one, but I got it fixed before and maybe still had the same perspective, but you know, the lessons learned and the things that I've been able to do since then, I don't think I wouldn't be the person I am, I guess, right now without that.
Well, you better have a strong heart if you adopted two daughters.
They're tough too. They're tough.
Yeah. I have three of those. And you probably should have called me before you adopted daughters, but no, that's awesome. And, yeah, we are. We're all happy that you're able to do that. You gave some of your heart to those girls, and then you're giving to the fire service. I don't know what else to say. It's tough. We want to you know, walk away with some lessons learned. And really, I guess it's the testing, right? Yeah. Testing. You probably wouldn't have survived it so well if you weren't in as good a shape before, right? So, yeah. Somebody in not as good a shape with you that would certainly killed them, right? And
one thing too, the biggest thing is like don't take your health for granted either. Like we get busy, like you're busy. You're working and you're doing this. And like I said, I'm at work right now doing this and we have families and lives and whatever, but you got to make taking care of yourself a priority or you can't take care of anybody else. You know, we always talk about, oh, we got to go out and clean the saws and make sure the hearse tool is going and, you know, check the oil and engine and, you know, get the new guy to check the strobe fluid and all that. But the, you know, what's the point of having a million-dollar fire truck with a $5 body when you get off of it? Much less taking that $5 body home, because that's the whole reason we're at work to start with, right? We're here to get a, we're getting our paycheck to take care of our family. If we're going to wreck ourselves physically and not take care of ourselves, what's the point? Because you're going to go home and you're worthless to them. If I had died on that day, like, my family don't care about me running on a fire truck and wearing this job shirt and doing whatever. They want me home. So that's the ultimate priority, should be taking care of yourself free. Even if you don't have, you know, family like that, for yourself, like, we're just going through life. Like, nobody woke up today and said, man, I want to have a crap day, or I want to suck so bad today. Like, we had to make yourself a priority so you can make everything else a priority in your life as well.
Yeah. We talked earlier on a hangout with some people that about fitness, right? In 30 minutes, what is that? Like 5% of your day or something?
2%.
2%. There you go.
Yeah.
So 2% of your day for the 30-minute workout to hopefully it's a good return on your investment, right?
Yeah.
No, Randy, I really appreciate you coming on, and I really appreciate what you're doing, trying to get the message out to the fire service. I have seen that you've done some keynotes and stuff, and gone to some banquets talking about what's going on. It's good to have you around. I'm sure NDW is happy that you're still around.
Most of the time, probably.
Hopefully you take your crew out and buy them dinner or something for doing a good AED on you, and treat them well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They, you know, actually one of the guys who was involved with that actually just got promoted to battalion chief. He's actually sitting at the desk beside me now.
Nice.
So it's kind of neat. And, you know, a couple of those guys I you know, kind of grew up with, and, I, you know, some of them don't work there no more, but we still talk. And, you know, even my birthday's in May, but they all text me on October 11th yeah. every year. And that's my second birthday. And they're always, hey, you know, hey man, happy birthday. Love you. And just, you know, it's the same thing. Like we're linked forever.
Yes. Yes, you absolutely are. Yeah. Hopefully you got the AED and you framed it or something that's hit your house. And
so, yeah, that's the best part. You know, the fire service, you know, they're kind of, we're sick and twisted individuals anyway. So my first day at Indian Head, my job, there was an AED hanging on my desk, you know.
Yeah,
this is kind of the old reminder. But yeah, they you know, that it's a stuff like that's a constant reminder. I'm always pointing that out, and I tell people all the time, like, don't take those things for granted, even just being out in public. Like, it wasn't the paramedics coming in and doing their paramagic on me. It was just a basic AED that you have hanging in at the airport that brought me back.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't waste any money on the lottery either, because you already won that.
Yeah. 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 I'm good to go on all that. I'm set.
All right. Well, again, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking about that. Hopefully, you know, you have many more birthdays, and we'll see you around talking about heart health.
Absolutely.
So to everybody out there, to our Mayday Monday audience, again, take this month, our skill drill this month is to go get checked. Go get some kind of a test. Get the calcium scoring test, stress test, do something, get checked. Because like the chief said, we want to take care of our tools. The most important tool is that cardiac tool that's in there and beaten. And remember that fire service is all built around heart, and we want to make sure our hearts are healthy. So thank you again for coming out for Mayday Monday. Thanks for visiting. We'll see you next month for the next Mayday Monday. Randy, thank you.
No problem. Thank you.